The scripture that has been selected for the morning reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 reads as follows. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So in the reading of the morning, as always, God adds a blessing to those who hear and the doers of his words.
In order to live the Christian life, one must think clearly and act correctly. One who thinks without acting is like the hunter who aims his gun and never fires it. One who acts without thinking is like the hunter who fires his gun without aiming. Both thinking and acting are addressed here in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. In the beginning of verse 8, Paul here says, finally. Now, this could mean that Paul is drawing his letter to a close, or could mean that these are the final observations concerning his line of thought that began in verse 4. Verse 4 through 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we are continuing Paul's thought, trying to bring it to a conclusion. Brethren, to think like a Christian, we must be thinking on the correct traits. Paul begins these traits with true. True signifies that which is genuine or real. Then he goes on to honest. This can also be honorable or noble. It refers to the lofty things, the majestic things, the things that can lift the mind from the cheap and crude to that which is noble and good and of moral worth. Just refers to doing what is right, whether it is just to God or just to man. Pure is translated from the same root word as the word holy, which means morally undefiled. The word lovely is from the compound word pro and phileo, and it means meaning toward love. If we are lovely to someone, that means that we have done something to make us considered to be lovely. It refers to that which evokes a response of love. But Paul ends these traits with good report. The English Standard Version says commendable. The Revised Version says gracious. But it is that which is well spoken of. It comes from the compound word that literally means a good saying. This list of qualities is followed by two conditional phrases. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue refers to the excellence that the righteous are to maintain. and praise to anything that is worthy of praise. The thought here is that if there is anything excellent, and there is, if there is anything worthy of praise, and there is, then we should respond in a certain way. But what is the proper response? First, it is right thinking. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, we are to think carefully. We are to make the aforementioned traits the subject of our thoughtful consideration. We need to keep our focus on them. Again, look at these words. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. What is important is not so much the definition of these words, but the general impression left by the combination of words. Now, we can pull these things all out one at a time, but not get across what we're to be doing. By combining them together, we get what things that are good and uplifting in contrast to those things that are dirty and degrading. If we were to view Paul's, or if we were to say this in the negative, Paul would have said, do not let your mind dwell on things that are false or dishonorable or immoral and so on and so forth. But Paul has a way in his letters of being upbeat and looking at things in the positive. You know, the mind naturally dwells on something. Paul instructs us to fix our thoughts on good things, not bad things, on the positive and not the negative, the things that build up and not tear down. There were two great discoveries in modern psychology that brings this to light. First, that our lives are governed by our thoughts, and that we can control our thoughts. With that being said, we have the power in one sense to control our lives. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, Solomon says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8 to think on these things. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "A man is what he thinks about all day long. The soul is dyed the color of its thinking." Think about that. The soul is dyed with the color of his thinking. If you are thinking dark thoughts, think about the color of your soul. Now, some might say, "But I can't control my thoughts. From time to time, I just think bad things. And there's nothing I can do about it." But brethren, there's an old saying, you can't keep the birds from flying in the sky, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. We all have thoughts that we shouldn't have. The question is not, will we have them, but will we dwell on them? When bad thoughts come into our hearts, think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure. The more we control our thoughts, the easier it will be to do. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul said, "Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." and the God of peace shall be with you. Why does Paul want us to concentrate our thoughts on edifying things? Is it merely just a mental exercise? No. He knew that those thoughts would shape our actions. It is insufficient to think like Christians and not act like Christians. But in acting like Christians, we need the right teaching. In here, in these words, Paul said that they heard Paul teach and preach. If you go back to Acts 20 and verse 20, Paul is in Miletus, and he called the Ephesian elders together, a part of which the Philippi is amongst that area. And in verse 20, he said, "And how I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house." In verse 27, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So there's nothing Paul left out. He didn't leave anything out. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul, he told Timothy here to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The brethren of Philippi, they learned God's word from Paul. And now it is up to them to comprehend what he taught and remember it. And it is no different for us. In John 6 and verse 45, Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught God. And every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me." They saw the example of Paul. Unlike the Pharisees, which Jesus spoke of in Matthew 23 and verse 3, Paul is telling the brethren, do all that I've taught you. But Jesus, he said to the disciples, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say, and do not. In other words, what they are teaching you from God's word, you do. But of the Pharisees, he said, you need to do that, but don't do what they do because they're not following what they teach. Paul is the opposite. Paul was the example. He was the example. Paul not only said and preached, Paul lived and breathed it. Nothing helps understanding better than an appropriate example. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." In Titus 2 and verse 7, Paul writes, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." They received what Paul had instructed. And it is vital that we receive the same instruction. We must accept and abide by the teaching. Jesus warned in Matthew 7 and verse 20, "One, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." But just having the right teaching is not enough. We also need the right training. In Ephesians 4 and verse, or Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul said, these things do. The English Standard Version says practice. Do and practice come from the Greek word proso, which means habit. It stresses the process leading to a certain accomplishment. The word suggests repeating an action until it becomes natural. Studies show that in order to make things a habit, you have to do something continually, consecutively for at least 30 days. That means day in and day out actually thinking about what you're doing. We could use the same analogy for myself when I was in the military. When I went to weapons training, it happened once a year. They gave me 80 bullets. They scored only 40. And if I shot above 35, they said, you're an expert. On the other hand, those guys that are in special forces, they shoot 80 rounds in the first 10 minutes. They shoot hundreds, if not thousands, of rounds a month. Everything they do is by instinct. Me, I have to sit back and think, is the safety off? Those guys know better. It's practice that made them perfect. They'd obliterate a target before I even figured out which end the bullet come out of the gun. What limits our capabilities is our aversion to practice. Some people want to excel in sports, but they hate to practice, and so they will not excel. It's as simple as that. We want to become better Christians, but we don't want to practice. How many of us have read the owner's manuals on our cars? I don't look at it unless I got a problem that comes up and I want to think what's going on. How many of us tried to put something together and left the instructions in the box? How many of us have put that thing completely together, realizing we got parts left over, and we have no clue where they went? The same thing with our Christian. We've got the instruction book, but we don't want to read it. Isn't it more convenient for someone to tell me what I'm supposed to do? There are too many of us who are unwilling to develop our skills and Christian living through practice. We want to talk the talk, but walking's hard. Walking's hard. I'd rather wait for the bus. And finally, the last part of Philippians 4 and verse 9. It says, and the peace shall be with you. Here we return to the theme of peace that we read in verse 7. Is it peace as opposite of war? No. It is a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that we have with God Almighty. Paul is saying that if you think as you should, if you act as you should, you will have peace. To become a Christian, to have access to the peace of God, we must think clearly. Jesus is the personification of all the virtues that is mentioned in verse 8. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." If you are now thinking clearly, now is the time to act appropriately. God has put into a plan of salvation. A plan that is to bring peace. Peace not only with one another, but most importantly, a peace with God. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and baptism is the plan. The question is, will you act appropriately today? If you are a Christian, are you a practicing Christian, or is it just a name? Do you allow your mind to take you back to the person you used to be on a regular basis? You see, we're supposed to get past that. We're not supposed to go back. We're supposed to go forward. Paul makes that very clear. If so, you need to make some changes in your life. Study and prayer will help so much in that it changes us. In that changes, we see what God has in store for us. Study and prayer will help us to focus on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Whatever your situation is this morning, if you are not a child of God, think on these things. Think quickly. Time is short. Life is short. A life on this earth has a beginning and it has an end. What we don't see and what we can't see is when that end will be for each and every one of us. If you're not a child of God, think about that and make your decision and act appropriately this morning. If you are a child of God and you need to make some changes in your life, you need to ask God for forgiveness, or things that you have done, or you just need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need is this morning, we ask that you come as together we stand and we sing.